We ended off last time discussing the tshuva, the Devar Shmuel, which is relevant to the heter of modern-day community Erevin, encompassing areas that traditionally would be considered to be a karfif. The Devar Shmuel, written in, I believe, 16th century Italy, was talking about a very specific situation, a walled city that had a unused or wide-open area right inside the walls, which was possibly used for military buildups when necessary. And he was asked whether that constitutes a karpef, which would be mevatel the dira of the city. The Devar Shmuel has two major points in his response. The first point is that the area under discussion is a relatively small part of the city. And the second point is that it's for the benefit of the city because it is part of city construction to have that empty area for the army to gather when necessary. So what we'll discuss now is, are those reasons independent or do you need both of them, and how does that really apply? What are the ikar nekudos that the Devar Shmuel is making? The Be'er Halacha quotes this Devar Shmuel. The Be'er Halacha in Siftes, Shinin Ches, Sittes, and the Be'er Halacha makes reference to a Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi, Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi Simen Nuntes, understood that the thrust of the heter of the Devar Shmuel was along the lines of the suffix of the Rush. We noted the Rush was mistapik, based on a maram, whether the din that Zra and the Valim Dira, does that apply to a Chatzer as well? Does that apply to an area which is adjacent to the house, where one might argue that definitionally a chaser is considered to be part of the tashmish ledira of the house, and even if I'm in the chaser, then that's not mevatel dira. So the Rush had this suffix. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin l'chumra on that. The Chacham Tzvi understood that the thrust of the Devar Shmuel's heter was along those lines. That just as there is at least a suffix in the Rush, that perhaps Zerayim are not Mevalim Dira, a karpif doesn't pose a problem in a chaser. The same would be true if it's in the city, in the kind of scenario discussed by the Devar Shmuel. I'll just read you a couple lines from the Chacham Tzvi. V'sfilu l'harav, Zal, the Devar Shmuel, da'avshem ha'ram kasav tov l'hachmir. Even though the Maram says that you should be machmir on Zerayim in a chaser, Hainu b'chatzer. That's only in a chatzer. Aval b'medina v'ir kula, but if it's in a city, efshar da'af rabbeinu meir yorah l'hakel. V'od shebashas adchak yesh lismach l'kula, kevin she'ein achumr ela mitari yasov. It's achumr anyway, so where there's a need, you could be mekel. And then he goes on to say that he thinks that the Rush himself is not l'hakel on the chatzer shayla be'etzem, even though the Mechaber is Machmer, so maybe you could rely on that Bishas HaDechak. What he seemed to have understood within this the Devar Shmuel is that if you have an open area that's part within the city, then that's not Mevatel Dira. It's something that services the city. And that's what he meant. And that's what the Devar Shmuel meant. Now, if that's the case, it's not so clear whether you could or should rely on this. After all, in Shulchan Aruch, we are machmir that even in a chatzer, Zerayim are mevatlim dira. In the English Sefer Erevin, they quote from Rav Moshe Berlin, who they say is one of the mumchim in Erevin in Eretz Yisrael, that he said he thinks the minhag ha'olam to be mekel on including karpefos in a community Erev is based on this Rush, the way the Chacham Tzvi understood the Devar Shmuel. The Aruch HaShulchan has a bit of a different take and could potentially lead to even bigger and more expansive kula. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Katan Kaf Aleph says that the thrust of the kula for karpefos is that the area in question is a mi'uta de mi'uta of the whole city. Right? That's what the Chacham Tzvi writes in his first reason, that it's only a small part of the city. And the Rosh Hashanah stresses, if it's mi'uta de mi'uta, so independent of the suffix of the rush, nothing to do with the fact that it's in a chatzir or in a ear, but if it's such a small part, it's hard to argue that a tiny area relative to the whole city is going to be mevatel dira of the city. So in theory, even according to the Aruch HaShulchan, even if you don't have the second reason of the Chacham Tzvi, even if you're not going to argue that this particular area is part of the city planning, that it's mishamish, the ear, is for the benefit of the city, but if it's such a small area, it's hard to argue that that could be mevatel, the deer of the entire city. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's the basis for the general orientation lekula when it comes to including karpefos in a community eruv. We would have to analyze, if we're going to look at the second reason of the Drash Shmuel, how relevant is that nowadays? And how broadly did the Drash Shmuel intend that kula? In his context, he's talking about a walled city where there's a need to have an open area for the army to gather. That clearly doesn't apply in most of our contemporary cities. But is the area, is the notion, is it stressed in the Drash Shmuel that you have something that services the city, or only in that specific context? So there is at least a indication in Rishonim that the notion of servicing a city may be broader, that if you have Zra'im that are planted li'ipoy ha'ir for the beautification of the city, maybe that wouldn't be Mevatel Dira either. That's the Me'iri I told you to take a look at. The Me'iri and Daf Kaftalad Amit Aleph Dibra Maskel V'chol She'i Kaf Dalet Abed Aleph Dibra Maskel V'Chol She'i. The Miri writes, "Umikal Makom Yeira'eli Shehazra'im Ha'asuyim Litiol." Those plantings, seeds that are made litiol, probably to beautify where one goes on litiol. V'lasei Sasham Tami Litayol Sham, to go in those areas to walk around. Ula Riach, and to smell the plants, the flowers. Ein Eilu Mevalos Mechitzos Vehekav Dira Hu Afa Pisha Nizra Vehekav Dira Hu Afa Pisha Nizra. So if it's made for the beautification of the city, to make it look nice for people to stroll by and admire and smell the flowers literally, then that's not Mevatel Dira. Umikan Yeira Elisha Rabbe Makilim Bekach Bepardesim Hasmuchim Bateim. Miri says that seems to be the basis for people to be makel to have karpifos, orchards next to their houses, not so much because of the rush of suffix that maybe if it's in a chatzer, it's not mevatel dira, but anything liyipu ya'ir, anything for the beautification of the city, of the environment, is not mevatel dira. The point of being mevatel dira is it interferes with your functioning, it interferes with your walking, with your living. But if it's something dafka made to enhance your living and the environment, then that wouldn't be mevatel dira.
And being used for like agriculture is not like, you know, Zeroyim for cultivation for food is called, it's not for you by saying.
Right, that's not right, it's not for beautification. That's more functional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Imre Yosher seems to take this approach as well. Meir Arik Imre Yosher, Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Ayin in a tshuva. Now, however, Rabbi Bloy points out in the Nesivas HaShabbos, Perek Yud Gimel Footnote Mem Dalet, Perek Yud Gimel Footnote Mem Dalet, Rabbi Bloy points out that even in the Me'iri, it doesn't sound like it's just for beautification, but it's for beautification where you walk through it or next to it, right? The Lashon was, Asuyim L'Tiol V'Lasei Sasham Tamid L'Tayel Sham U'Lahariach. So Rabbi Bloy says, if you have an area that's full of flowers, and there's nowhere to walk in the middle, then maybe even the Me'iri would agree that's Mevatel Dira. It has to be an area where you could walk through, where you could see it and admire it and benefit from it. But if you have a large area, Beis HaSayim, that has flowers straight, and you can't walk over the flowers, then maybe even the Me'iri would agree that that's Mevatel Dira. Although then he says, nowadays, if we're talking about grass, so if it's common practice to walk on grass, then even if you have contiguous grass, that wouldn't be a problem because people walk on it, and then it's not going to be mevatel dira. The dibre, yeah?
Because the Darshmul is talking about what?
Darshmul is talking about an open area that was used or could have been used for the army to stage itself at the entrance to the city that didn't have any other, that didn't have any other dira purpose.
So why is it mevatel dira?
He says it's not mevatel dira.
It
would be mevatel dira because you have an area that's not used ladira, an area that has no residential function. Right, that's what a karpif is, an area that's not used, that has no house in it or next to it, that's of a certain size that doesn't have a dira function.
We're talking about whether it can be married. Why don't you look at the entire area?
What entire area?
We're
talking about whether it's mevatel the heka for the city. If you have a area that has no dira function, that's yosim beis asayim, that isn't set aside by mechitzos, then that is a karpef. And if the area of the city opens up to it, then the city is nifras makam asurlo, and you couldn't be mevatel in the city either.
Are we talking about with an eruv?
Even with an eruv, right?
With an eruv. Why you look at the entire area? Why?
Well, that, again, if you have an area that's surrounded by mechitzas, or call it an eruv, and you have a open non-dira area of Beis Asayim, then that non-dira area of Beis Asayim is a karpef. It's an iser tiltil midrabanan in that karpef. And if it's not set aside by its own mechitzas, then the rest of the city is nifras l'makam asurla.
Why can't you surround the entire city and then the city has dira purposes?
You did surround the whole city, but that doesn't compromise the fact that you have this karpif in the middle, which is mevatel the dira of the city.
Well,
which is mevatel. I'm sorry?
Why is it not considered surrounded with dira? It's surrounded and the city has the intent of.
No, so you can't be. To make a karpif mukaf ladira, you have to be makif the karpif itself.
Why can't you be makif the whole thing?
Because that doesn't make the karpif itself mukaf ladira. The karpif is a standalone area that is not
because
that is not ladira.
Because it doesn't have a purpose.
Right. Right. I'll just read you the shaila in the Rosh Shmuel. Ir mukaf es choma. Nimsaba ke'ein karpifos osadas mi bifnim samach l'choma shezorim sam lefamim. So they would put zerayim there sometimes. Sometimes it'd be empty. Sometimes there'd be zerayim. Minestavka bedina mimchalolei ema iser midir beisol from aniskar of karpif sheyosim beis asai. That's the shayla the Rashi is addressing. Okay. Now the divrei chayim the tzanzerav in arachayim chayli beis simin kafches. Arachayim Chayil Beis Simon Kafchas seems to, he doesn't quote the Meiri, but he seems to have a different orientation, that if you have Zerayim, Zerayim are always Mevatel Dira, independent of the function. I mean, the Gemara presents an absolute distinction between Ilanos that are not Mevatel Dira and Zerayim that are Mevatel Dira, and even if you have a specific instance in which these Zerayim serve a purpose, and are Liyipui Ha'ir, let's say, it's still part of the broader category that is definitionally mevatel dira, because that's the norm, that's the robe. Generally speaking, Zerayim are not ladira purposes, and therefore Zerayim as a category are always going to be mevatel dira. The Shoel that the Divrei Chaim is responding to wanted to take in the Eerie-like approach, that if you have, the way he presents it is, derech hasarim lizraim b'chaser prachim, that it's fancy people plant flowers, so then that shouldn't be mevatel dira because it's liyipui ha'ir, and the Divrei Chaim rejects that. He thinks there's an absolute distinction between Zerayim and Ilanos, even if in a particular case Zerayim may be liyipui ha'ir. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he was machmer.
He was machmer, right.
So does that basically mean we have no etzah? Do you feel like that you couldn't make an inroad in our areas?
Well, his suggestion is to divide that carpet into subsections. So if you make arbitrary mechitzos in the middle of the karpef so that you carve out areas so each area is less than a beis hasayim, then you solve the problem. That's the different chayim tzeitza.
Okay, fine. Uh-huh.
But there are, you know, the easiest thing is to carve out the karpef where that's possible. If meaning to an extent that to box it out of the area, right. And then you couldn't carry in the karpef, but it's not mevatel the rest of the area. In the English Erevin book, he quotes from Ramosha that Ramosha thought an expansive understanding of the Dvar Shmuel isn't necessarily relevant nowadays, meaning that often you have a karpef which is not Litzarach Ha'ir or not Lipu Ha'ir. But he distinguishes he distinguishes between, let's say, a city park, where you could argue that a city park is for the betterment of the city, for the enhancement of the city, and maybe that's not mevatel dira, and other areas that just have overgrowth where there isn't any residential function per se. They quote there from Rabbi Heinemann quoted Rabbi Moshe saying that if you have a swimming pool or a swimming pond, then that's not mevatel dira because that is functional. Perhaps even not during swimming season, but
is that? I haven't thought of relative sizes. How much are we talking about when we talk about the Lizrela bone?
You mean what's the shiva base asayim?
Yeah, roughly.
So the base asayim is 5,000 square amas. So let's say chazan isham is 2 feet. That's 10,000 square feet.
So it is on the big size swimming pool? I don't know. What's
that? I don't know. How big is the swimming pool?
It's like 100 feet.
By?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, so Google it. I don't know.
No, I have limited access on here. But it's an interesting... Maybe the tier of other things they're handling it. You know, like a large area.
Cause right.
I'm just thinking, we're not... We're talking... You still need a serious... Saying 10,000 feet by
10,000 square feet.
10,000 square feet.
I'm sorry, 10,000 square feet, Chazanish, and let's say 7,500 square feet of Chaimda.
Okay. So, this is really more your ASIC.
I'm sorry?
Where you
have
10,000 from?
It's 5,000 square amos,
yeah.
50 by 100 amos, right? So the Chazanish amos.
By 1.5 and 2?
I'm sorry?
Well, by 1.5 and 2?
So you have to double.
I think it was 5,000.
You have to multiply 50 by 1.5 and 100 by 1.5.
Right.
So it's 5,000 times 1.5 squared, 5,000 times 4.
Well?
It would be 20,000 square feet.
Exactly.
According to the
just
one second. No, if a foot...
Converting the area.
Yeah, you convert it. You need to multiply twice. So
one second. If you have
you need to convert the 100 feet, you need to convert the 50 feet.
A beis hasayim is 5,000 square amas, correct?
Yeah.
So 5,000 square amas, if an ama is 2 feet, that's not 10,000 square feet?
A square ama is either 2.25 square feet or 4 square feet.
Square ama.
Because an ama
right.
is 2 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
Which would be 4 feet.
Okay.
Or 1.5, 1.5, which is 2.5.
No, but he's saying 5,000 square amas is where he's starting, right?
Yeah.
So the 5,000 square amas is how many square feet Chazanish?
Chazanish is machmer, 2 feet.
Chazanish is 2 feet, yeah.
So it would be 2 feet by 2 feet, which is 4 square feet.
So what's the area?
The area would be 4. If a square amas is 4 square feet, 5,000 times 4.
So it would be 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Is that... Why am I... Maybe my math is... I always get
50 amos is 100 feet, and then 100 amos is 200 feet, so it'll be 100 feet by 200 feet.
But it's 5,000 square amos, which is... You're starting with a squared number already, right?
And a square amos is 4,000 square feet. It's being told about 5.
The square amma is... 4 square feet. Okay.
Is that 1 squared
on? Got it. Okay.
If that's okay, whatever good. It is, in yeah. the larger area, we can find out exactly what it
right.
is.
Right. Okay.
It's not a.
It's probably more than a regular swimming pool, but.
Yeah, isn't a mile like a 1285? What's the size of a mile?
A mile's 5,000 something. Yeah. 5,000,
like 5,280 or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like
yeah, but even then, so he's talking. A mile is 5,000 feet in one direction, so you have to figure out the area.
What we're nowhere near a mile here.
We're talking about thousands of feet, right? You were saying.
1 second. That doesn't seem right. Thousand.
Or unless you're saying.
What's he saying? I'm trying to figure out.
One amma is. Oh, unless you did. Were you doing dalad ammas maybe? The chazanish is. No, that's 8 feet. No, it is one amma.
It's 5,000 square amas. However, that.
Whatever that converts.
Okay, fine. Good. Then he quotes from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv was not willing to rely on the Devar Shmuel at all lechachila, but said that where it's impossible to have a community erev otherwise, and you're worried that people are going to be nechshal with the Nisar Hotzah, then you could be makel like the Devar Shmuel. But that also seems to assume. These Achronim seem to assume that the Iker reason of the Devar Shmuel is the Yipui Ha'ir approach. Rav Shachter also is of the opinion, whenever Rav Shachter talks about this, he says that in Europe everyone relied on the Devar Shmuel, but he thinks that it's a questionable kula, so better to be Machmir and not to include these kinds of Karpifos in a community Erev. In the Sefer Tuv Yerushalayim, which is a biography of Rav Ben Zion Yadler, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim at the beginning of the 20th century, chapter 10. So they quote that in the time that when the Aderet came to Yerushalayim, you'll recall that Shmuel Salant was the Rav of Yerushalayim, he was getting older, and the Baal Batra wanted to bring in an associate rabbi to eventually take over after Shmuel Salant was no longer able to function. So they brought in the Aderet from Europe, who was Rav Kook's father-in-law. And Shmuel Salant ended up living to a very ripe old age, and the Aderet predeceased him. So they brought in the Aderet, who was 40 years younger, to eventually take over. The Aderet passed away before Shmuel Salant. But while he was there, before he passed away, the Aderet apparently was the Rav HaMachshir of the new Erev outside of the Chamot. It's when the Jews started settling outside of the Chamot of Yerushalayim to the new neighborhoods in the latter part of the 20th century. So they started an Erev there, and the Aderet allowed including Karpifos in the Hekaf of the Erev. And then it says that after, Rabbi Yadler was the person in charge of the upkeep of the Erev. Mm-hmm. So the Aderet was the Rav HaMachshir of the Erev, and they included Karpifos. And then after the Aderet passed away, he went to Rav Shmuel Salant and wanted Rav Shmuel Salant to take over the Hechsher of the Erev. And Shmuel Salant said that you couldn't have an Erev if you include these Karpifos. The Aderet was Mekel. So Shmuel Salant reportedly said that the Aderet had broader shoulders than I do. Mm-hmm. Now, the Aderet was many many years younger than Rav Shmuel Salant.
There you go.
The Chazanish writes, like what Rav Shachter says, Chazanish in Simen Peches Os Kafei, Chazanish Simen Peches Os Kafei, thinks that the Iker is like the Machmirim in a Chatzer, and therefore you should be Machmir on these Karpif Shailas also, because the city is like a Chatzer. The Chachman Zis said that, Lekula, and the Chazanish said, but if it's like a Chatzer, it should be Lechumra. And again, you should avoid including Karpifos in an Erev. In the Chuvas Melami Lahoel, Rav Dovid Tzvi Hoffman, Simon Samachay, he was asked about the Erev in Fulda, Germany. So, in writing about the Erev in Fulda, Germany, he says that you could be Mekel to include Zraim, based on the Devar Shmuel, and he says that was the norm, that's the cities were constructed, and that was the norm to include Zrayim in a community Erev. This is one of the issues that are discussed in the literature about the original Frankfurt Erev in Frankfurt, when, as we noted previously, the Refersh Kehila, both in the time of Refersh, although there are reports or allegations that Refersh actually wanted to make an Erev and didn't, but then by son-in-law Breuer, Shlomo Breuer first, the Refersh Kehila did not endorse having an Erev in Frankfurt, and the other Kehila, the non-Ostricht Kehila, had an Erev, and that was under the leadership initially of a Rabbi Nechemia Noble. Rabbi Nechemia Noble wrote a series of essays that are reprinted in a volume published by Mossad Rav Kook many years ago, and he has pieces about the justification for building an Erev in Frankfurt. As we noted in the past, I think I mentioned this in the Shish and Rebo context, that didn't come up. Frankfurt's population, anyway you sliced it, was not 600,000 people before the war, before either war, and this was put up in the latter part of the 19th century. So that was a part of the discussion. The discussion about the Frankfurt Erev was more technical. One of the issues that came up was this question of Karpifos. So Rabbi Noble wrote that he thought you could be makel to include Karpifos or park areas or areas of flowers, Zrayim, in the Erev in Frankfurt, because if the Zrayim preceded the Hekef, then they're not Mevatel Dira. If the Zrayim are there first, and then you're Makif the whole city, even though you're Makif it with Tzuas HaPesach, you want to make an Erev, so you're Makif, however you're Makif it, excuse me, if the Zrayim were there first, then the fact that you're Makif an area including the Zrayim means that your intention is to be Makif the Zrayim L'Shem Dira as well. That Hekif around the entire area includes the Zrayim, and that's considered to be Mukaf L'Shem Dira. And Rabbi Noble is not the only one to say this. The Divrei Malkiel, the Lam Jerav, says this as well in a tshuva regarding the Erev in Odessa. The Divrei Malkiel was asked about the propriety of putting up an Erev in Odessa.
Oh. Yeah, the Erev Online website mentioned that was one of the first shilas that, like, because it was a very cosmopolitan place that
right.
Became like a lot of.
Right. So this is printed first in a sefer called Tikkun Shabbos, which is about the Erev in Odessa, and it's reprinted in the Divrei Malkiel, Shuvas Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Dalet Siman Gimel, Shuvas Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Dalet Siman Gimel, because it's this same tshuva in the past within the Shish Yamibo discussion, of specifically the Mefulash discussion. So the Divrei Malkiel says not to rely on the Dvar Shmuel, but he says it's Kiddush. We don't accept the Dvar Shmuel per se, but if you have Zrayim that preceded the Hekef, then that's not a problem of being Mevatel Dira. And in the Malami Lahoil, back to that Shuva about the Erev and Fulda, the Malami Lahoil rejects the arguments of a Rabbi Krieger in Sefer Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Rabbi Krieger was in Frankfurt also, no relation to the Kriegers here on the Heights. He was not from a Yakisha family, but he ended up in Frankfurt. Then he was in Boston, and they have a volume of his tshuvas in the Old Beis Medrash. So in this Sefer, right, in his Sefer Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, he argued in Rabbi Noble that how can you say such a chiddush that if you're makif after the Zrayim come, then that's okay. So the Malami Lahoel says had Rabbi Krieger seen the Divrei Malkiel, he wouldn't have said what he said, because Rabbi Noble didn't make it up. The Lam Jerav said it first. Rabbi Noble writes that Lieser Se'es, he said, well, okay, so you plant the Zrayim, and then you're Makif the whole area L'Shem Dira. But what happens if more Zrayim grow? So they keep on growing. So you're Makif some of the Zrayim L'Shem Dira, then now they're new Zrayim. So in order to avoid that problem, he would knock down a section of the Erev every year, and then put it up again. So that way, now you're back of everything anew. So in case there was Ryan that grew in the last year, you're back of that L'Shem Dira again.
Mm-hmm. Would they only be able to use the Erev for the part of the year where they didn't grow?
So he's assuming that's a Chumrah, meaning he assumes that in a year you don't have enough new growth that would independently constitute a new Shear Karpif. Meaning you'd have to have you know, in order to create a new Shir Karpiv, you'd have to have a whole Karpiv's worth, a base of science worth of new growth. So I think he assumes that you don't have that, although maybe over the course of a number of years you could have that. So if you knock it down once a year, then you avoid the possibility of having enough accumulated growth. I think that was his calculation. In the tshuva written by Rav Aaron Gordon, who was a Rav on the Lower East Side in the early part of the 20th century, the first iterations of Erevin in Manhattan were on the Lower East Side in the very early part of the 20th century, where some Rabbanim wanted to use the elevated railroad tracks as mechitzas for part of it. So a lot of that literature we reprinted in the Kol Tzvi, when the Kol Elyon learned Hotzah a number of years ago, Kol Tzvi, Volume 7. So we found this tshuva by Rav Aaron Gordon, who is the great-grandfather of Rabbi Ari Zatz and Rabbi Yaakov Rablowski. Mm-hmm. So we found this tshuva in the YU Archives, which has a whole collection of material on Erevin, and the Erevin in New York, most of which had been published previously. I was looking for material that hadn't been published previously, so I found the tshuva of Aaron Gordon, printed in Kol Tzvi Volume 9. I have extra copies in my office of that Kol Tzvi if you want. So in his analysis of the possibility of making an Erev on the Lower East Side, which he very much opposed, he assumes also, not like the Dvar Shmuel, that the parks in New York would be an impediment to making an Erev. He thinks parks would be a problem. We had an issue a couple years ago in Passaic. Passaic has a large pond, the pond then feeds into a stream, but in one area there's a very large pond, known as a duck pond, because of the large number of ducks that populate the pond. So, Biyam Kamonim, the Passaic Erev assumed that, like most Erev in the world, to be maketh on Karpifos, and it was in the middle of the Erev without any tikkun. And then a number of years ago, when they made tikkunim in the Erev to try to conform with various other shittas that we had in Mekoshesh for before, including Rav Shechter's positions on Erevin, so they boxed out the duck pond so that if you want to be machmer to treat that as a karpev, then you can still use the rest of the Erev, and the duck pond is independently blocked out. But we had, a couple years ago, they drained the duck pond as part of a park refurbishing plan. So for a good number of weeks, they drained all the water out of the duck pond, and they drained the ducks out also, I don't know where they went, and it was just full of what the Mishnah Berurah termed refesh v'tit, very muddy. So I thought at the time that even if you're going to be makel to consider the duck pond to be l'yipui ha'ir in general, that it's not along the lines of Dvar Shmuel, that it's not a problem of a problematic karpave because it's for the beautification of the city, and also sometimes people go fishing there or would go fishing there, so maybe that's another reason that it's litashmish. But when it was all drained, so you can't argue that's the yipu ya'ir because it's all muddy now. No one, it doesn't look nice. It's disgusting. And so if you assume, like the first reason of the Dvar Shmuel alone, that, or like the Aruch HaShulchan, that if it's an area that's miuta de miuta, it's a tiny part of the city, then independent of function is not mevatel dira. So even if you drained all the water, and even if it's all muddy, but it's still a miuta de miuta of the city. But if you assume, like the second reason of the Dvar Shmuel, or the expansion of the second reason of the Dvar Shmuel, that we're only making of something that's liyipu ya'ir, so I thought that wasn't liyipu ya'ir anymore. And even though, as we noted last time, or two times ago, the Mechaber Paskins in Shinun Ches Yud Aleph that if you have Mayim and Amavatel Dir, if it's less than 10 Tvachim, but as you pointed out last time, first of all, that's a Machlokas we showed him, and anyway, we quoted from Ramosha that that's a function of Tashmish, that if someone would walk through water that's less than 10 Tvachim, that's not about the deer. But nowadays, people don't walk through water that size. So it still could be a problem. And if people are not going to walk through this Rafesh V'tit, if it's deeper than Gimel Tochim, then that could be a problem as well. Even if you don't have water anymore, if you have Rafish Matir. So that's what we quoted from the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Sadi, that water less than 10 Tzvachim is like Refesh V'tit. But that's talking about Refesh V'tit that people would walk through. But if no one's going to walk through it, then definitely if it's more than 3 Tzvachim, presumably it's what 3 Machmir bets. So I thought that when the duck pond was drained, then even Me'ikar HaDin, you'd have to box it out because there's a lot less to rely on in terms of including that in the heck of the Eir. So at the time, I spoke to Rosh Hashanah, he was masking as well. Lemaisa, although I think there were some different communications to some of the people involved in the Eiruv, but Lemaisa, the Rabbi Shakin, who's amazing and very on top of that Eiruv, many Eiruvim, put a lot of time in on a weekly basis making sure that the cutoff for that carpet was there, because they were doing all this construction and it kept them falling down every week and they had to reroute it. But at the time I thought that there was much more of a reason to be machmir to cut off that area.
Very good.
Okay, what about cemeteries? So Rosh Hashanah is machmir about cemeteries, that cemeteries are a karpef and can't be included in an eruv or need to be boxed out. This is one of the issues. When I drove Rosh Hashanah on those tours of the Woodbury Eruv, what was it, 12, 13 years ago, when we went out a few times to inspect the Woodbury Eruv at the invitation of some of the local Rabbanim, so one of the errors that he made was that there was a cemetery within the Hekef of the Eruv that wasn't boxed out, and that they should fix that to carve out the Eruv, the cemetery from the Eruv. The English Eruv and Sefer, they quote this from Ramosha as well. The Ramosha is Machmer and cemeteries, that it's a problematic karpif. Mm-hmm. In Rav Yoshev's Shuvas, Chelek Aleph Kovitz Shuvas Simen Mem Hei, Chelek Aleph Kovitz Shuvas Simen Mem Hei, Rav Yoshev in a Shuvah to none other than Rav Osner, was asked about the issue of cemeteries, and he suggests, he thinks maybe cemeteries are more like trees, more like Ilanos, than like Zerayim. Maybe it's more Ladira because people visit cemeteries. Even though they don't usually visit that cemeteries on Shabbos, but that shouldn't make a difference per se. People visit cemeteries. In the English Eruv and Sefer, it says something strange that I don't quite understand. It says maybe Moshe and Yashav aren't arguing. Because Moshe is talking about in America, and Rav Yosher is talking about Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there are all these Kibbutz Tzaddikim that people visit. So maybe that's why in Eretz Yisrael, cemeteries are different. So, first of all, Rav Yosher isn't talking about Kibbutz Tzaddikim, he's talking about Kibbutz Yavos. And we have Kibbutz Yavos in America, and we even have Kibbutz Tzaddikim in America. So maybe not as many. Not to rank. But so I don't quite understand what he means. Sounds like there's a machlokas. Rav Yashiv thinks that the fact that people visit cemeteries is enough that it's not mevatel dira, and Rav Moshe thought that no, it's not. It's not really a dira function. Mm-hmm. So the simplest way to avoid all of these problems is to box out the area in question. If you have a potential karpef, so you make a Suasa Pesach Erev around that area. So then you wouldn't be able to carry within that carpet because it's a carpet, and the fact that you're makif that carpet doesn't help you because it's still an Isser Tilto. But then the rest of the city is not an Isser Makom Aserlo. The rest of the city isn't open up into that carpet anymore, and the Suasa Pesach Eiv around the city will be fine.
Wait, we get that visiting it would?
I'm sorry?
What would visiting it do? Why would that matter?
That makes it Ladira, it makes it functional. People.
When we say Ladira is functional.
I'm sorry?
When we say Ladira is functional, the case we're talking about is where it's functional. The fact that a bunch of people go there would make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be along the lines of that which is Li'ipi'ayir, even though in the other citation it looks like Rav Yashiv wasn't willing to be Makel by regularly you put your ear by a park.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it's something along those lines that, here, I have the chuva here. Kovetz Shuvas, was it Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem Hei. So he says, we don't want to rely on the Dvar Shmuel, but L'chor Yesh Lodim Ki Arei Minog Yisrael L'vakir Ki Ve'yamas. The Ramah says we do it on Tisha B'Av. Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tanis. So he says, maybe it's no worse than Ilanos. Why are Ilanos okay? Because Ilanos are planted L'Estofeth B'Tzila. Ilanos are not about the deer because they're planted to give you shade. Mm-hmm. So that's a deer function. So he says it's a slightly different usage of the term listofef, but just like people are mistofef in the tzel of a tree, they hang out, they gather under the shade, they also hang out and gather in cemeteries.
The Gemara says trees aren't carpet, or trees aren't
zrab. The Gemara distinguishes between Ilanos and Zrab. Ilanos are not mevat al dira. Zrab are mevat al dira. Why are Ilanos not mevat al dira? They have a dira function that they provide shade that people use. And then he says in brackets here, he quotes another Yehuda or a Chayim Emzayin about a zoo. That even if it's hukaf the dira, and even if there's a house for the zoo guard, the zookeeper, but people don't usually live in zoos, so then that could still be a karpif. He says nowadays that in the zoo all the animals are in their own cages, although nowadays there's, I think, a movement away from cages, but natural environment, okay, and people come to visit the zoo, so then maybe even according to the Noz Behuda, it's not mevatel dira, because that's like trees, because people go to, they hang out under trees, they hang out in zoos. Then he quotes in the Dove Mishon, the Chibiner, Simon Samachay, that if you have a cemetery that has a house for the guard, then even if it's more than Beis Asayim, that's considered mukaf dira because the guard lives there. So maybe that's enough of a dira that it's not mevatel the hakef. Okay, so that's the issue with cemeteries. Again, Rav Moshe is machmir, Rav Shechter is machmir. Sometimes, just about every community area is going to have carpet issues, and you have to figure out how easy is it to accommodate. I mean, it's clear that the Minhag HaOlam for centuries was to rely on some form of the Dvar Shmuel, but if it's easy to fix it otherwise, then that's probably, mm-hmm. It depends, like in speaking to people involved in Erevin, so in some communities where there isn't such a market for it, where people aren't looking for chumras and are happy with status quo, and there's a lot of tirch involved in carving out the carpes, so they leave the status quo. But in a place like Passaic, where there is an interest in making new tikkunim, so they included this also, mm-hmm. because the population wanted it. Okay, but we'll stop here. We're going to break now for Chazara.
Okay.
So,
now, Shlomo, you said you have a Tuesday Bechina after Thanksgiving?
Yes, right, so we're going to have...
Not Shlomo, sorry. I'm sorry.
There's so many people here, it's hard to keep track of everyone.
I know.
so, we'll Amir Sishan have the Bechina a week from Monday.
Okay.
So, you have 2 weekends for Chazara.
Very good.
Is that right? If you prefer Tuesday, we could do a Tuesday. I'm not here Tuesday, so if it's...
I'm fine with
it. I can leave it for you for Tuesday, or I can give it to you on Monday.
Monday,
fine. And then we'll pick up at the shiurim after that. So the Monday, what's the date? Monday the 2nd of December? Sorry.
3rd.
3rd of December, first day of Hanukkah.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Excellent.